Sean Mice here, and on this training, I am going to give you a concise, what I'm calling mindset training. And now, before I get into this material, let me just kind of give you some background about where I really want to go with this. It'll include more than just mindset. I'm going to share with you my action management technique for prioritizing my time. I'm going to share with you a little bit about how I'm able to maintain strong focus as I build out my business. I am going to teach you how I decide what is the priority for today or for this week, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm also going to share with you my concept for keeping a physical log of your time and share with you some mindset ideas. And I do want to say this, and I believe I alluded to this in some of the overview training, that I want to share with you why I'm giving you this mindset training right here at this place in your training program. And that is that I've experienced over the years as I've worked with people, frankly, holding back on sharing these non-essential, non-implementation techniques for having the right mindset, for being highly productive. And what I found is that when people finally pin me down and ask me the questions, the answers to which I'm going to give you now, they go, wow, I wish I'd have known this earlier because I think I could have moved faster. And I've always held it back because I've always been of the opinion, hey, you're already motivated. That's why you bought into the coaching program. You're already motivated. I don't need to give you that. I just need to tell you what to do, and your own motivation will get you out there and do it. But what I've obviously, over time, even though I'm motivated, I've had to learn techniques to allow myself to stay focused, and maybe that's where you're at as well. Okay, and so that's why I'm giving you this early. Here's what I'm going to recommend. Obviously, study it now. Implement as much of what I'm going to share with you as you believe will help you at the place where you're at now. And then on down the road, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months down the road, come back to this training, listen to it again, and then ask yourself, is there anything else that I can add and allow myself to be more productive? I will say this. I genuinely believe that many days I do more in 2 hours than some people are able to do an entire day of work. I know that if I get distracted from using some of the techniques I'm going to share with you today, I can spend an entire day, 8-10 hours of work, and look back and ask myself what I've done and only quantify about 45 minutes of it. Okay. Now, obviously, I did something during the rest of the period of time. What was it? You know, maybe it was emails, maybe it was surfing, maybe it was helping coaching clients. You know, it was productive things. However, they were organized in an unproductive way, and the actual total net work that I got out of the day might have been an hour or two. Okay. Whereas what I do now is, using the techniques I'm getting ready to share with you, is I'm able to get more done in the first couple hours of the day than I'm able to do when I don't focus like this in a full day, and what I believe takes other people as much as a full day to be able to accomplish. Now, what this allows me to do is either A, you know, have those priority items, get them done and call it a day after a couple hours, or take a break after a couple hours and come back and theoretically start a brand new day over and get 2 days' work out of the first, out of the 1 day. Okay, so the very first place that I want to start with, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Okay, this is something that I do believe that needs to come from inside of you. Okay. However, I do get the question a lot, hey, Sean, how do you stay so motivated? And I'll just give it to you. I mean, there's whole books written on this, and there's probably a lot of, well, I've read some good books on this topic. You've probably seen some of them. The classic, of course, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Okay. And then there's a lot of books that, you know, if you just go to Amazon or your local bookstore, you'll find books on motivation and staying motivated and all of that. But for me, I'll tell you what it is for me. For me, I have a clear picture in my mind of where I want to be in the future. And each day, I focus on taking another step towards getting there. Okay? Now, um, obviously, in the course of taking that next step, I need to know what are the steps to get there. And obviously, in the course of this training, I'm going to share with you what those steps are. I personally believe that one thing that many people don't do that holds them back from actually getting to where they want to go is not having that daily motivation that comes from having a long-term goal. Okay, so each day they wake up thinking, I'm going to do something to better myself. But if they don't know where they're going, well, the next step could be in any direction. Okay, so for example, if we use a map example, others have used this example before. If we use a map example and say I want to go from Denver to Kansas City, if I look at the map and I say, okay, I'm going to get in the car and I am going to drive east, and I'm going to go 70 miles, and in 10 or 11 hours, then I'm going to be in Kansas City. Okay. Now, if I have the map and I know I'm going to go to Kansas City, then every single hour, I was to reevaluate things, okay, am I going the right direction? Am I heading east? I've gone 70 miles. Okay, let's go another 70 miles the next hour. I know this sounds really simplistic, but that's the idea. Okay, and so I know where I want to be a few years from now. Okay, and so I've pointed myself in that direction. And every single day when I wake up, I say, okay, what am I going to do today that's going to get me one step closer, that's going to get me 1 mile closer to where I want to go? Now, contrast that to not knowing where we want to go, but getting in our car and driving anyway. Yeah, it might be a fun road trip, you know, but let's say we start in Denver and we drive an hour. We don't pay any attention to the direction. We end up north of here in Fort Collins. Okay, and then the next hour we say, I don't know where I want to drive now. And say, well, maybe I'll just drive towards Nebraska. So I drive an hour that way, and then, you know, we kind of cross the border there, and we say, okay, you know, where do we, actually that would be a few hours. So we cross the border into Wyoming, and then we say, maybe we'll head over to Nebraska, and a few hours later we're there. And then we say, oh, we wanted to go to Kansas. And so now we got to get on a different road to think about going there, and we get distracted again. Whereas if in our mind we said, okay, we're going to Kansas City, then every single hour we're reorienting ourselves. And that's what I do every single day when I wake up, okay? The very first thing that I do is I have strategy planning, well, after I've had breakfast and if I work out, et cetera. But once I start my work day, okay, the question is, what am I going to work on today that's going to move me one step closer, okay? And if I think about some things that I might want to work on and I think, well, this isn't going to move me one step further, then I push it to the side. Okay. Even if it's something that needs to be done, I'll push it to the side. Maybe I'll do that in the afternoon when I'm tired. The very first thing that I want to do every single day is something that's going to move me towards my purpose. Okay. Now, in the course of this training, I am going to be teaching you all the steps that you need to get to your goal, and we're going to be working on your goals. I'm not going to cover that here. But once you know what those steps are, it's going to be really easy for you to every day to wake up and say, okay, I've completed this step. This is the next thing I need to do. So that's what I'm going to work on today. Okay, the next thing that I do, and I'll just be completely transparent here with you, the next thing that I do, I'm not as good at it as I'd like to be. And it's a technique that I'm sure others teach it, okay, but I personally learned it from Tony Schwartz in his book, The Power of Full Engagement. And boy, he co-wrote it. And because I don't have that information right in front of me, I'm going to give you Tony Schwartz, The Power of Full Engagement. He did co-write it, so there's a co-author on there. I believe that The Power of Full Engagement should be required reading for every entrepreneur. I really believe that. Okay? But the biggest thing that I took from that particular book that I use in my own business is the idea that we can only be at full engagement for limited periods of time, okay, and of course Tony and the co-author go into great detail on how that works, okay, and why that works, okay. But the concept here is that it's impossible for you to be at full engagement every single day for 8 to 10 hours, okay. Where you could be is in full engagement for an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours. And your engagement level, your excitement level, your creativity level begins to fall off at some point. Okay? And what Tony recommends, and he teaches it in the book, what Tony recommends is that, and the co-author is Jim Lohr. So Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz. What Tony and Jim recommend is that you take a break. And that you take a complete break from whatever it is that you're working on so that when you come back in half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour, you're refreshed and ready to work again. Okay? And he cites numerous case studies where that's worked for people. The book's incredible. Okay? But for me, the biggest thing is, and the way that I've adapted to my life is I combine that with what I just shared with you about this direction idea, this I know where I'm going. When I wake up in the morning, I say, okay, what's the number one thing that's going to get me closer? And what I'll sometimes do is I may come up with three things that I need to do. And so what I'll do is I'll do the first thing in the first hour and a half. I'll take a break. I'll come back. I'll do the second thing in the second hour and a half. I'll take a break and come back. And then I'll do the third thing. Okay. So for me, that's kind of my, and for all I know, he may teach that in that book as well. If it's something that I do personally, that adds to what my understanding of what he taught in that book is. The biggest idea here is that we get in there, we do what's important, and then we take a break so that we can come back fresh for the next thing. So I just want to remind you of something. I fall in this trap even now, okay? And I have a solution for it. I'm going to share it with you. Obviously, you've got to come up with a solution that works well for you on this item. But when you begin to get tired, let's say you pass that hour and a half or 2 hours and you've done your high priority work and you need a little bit of a break, but you don't actually take a break because, well, you know, a break is weak, right? Okay? And so you say, I really want to take a break. I'll do something easy and then I'll come back to work. And so what's easy? Oh, answering emails is easy. And so we go in and we decide we're going to put on our customer service hat and we answer emails for 45 minutes and we've done something easy. What happens is at the end of that time, it wasn't really rest. And so we're not really motivated to do the next thing that we need to do. And so then we say, well, let's do something else low priority. I'm going to go buy some traffic. I'm going to write another page in my book. I'm going to do this. And, two or three hours later, now it's time for lunch, and you have lunch, and you're not, you know, maybe you don't eat a great lunch. You don't have great energy when you come back. You know what? You might as well quit for the day because we know where this is going, don't we? You're going to open up your – I know. I've done it before, so I'm not accusing you of doing anything. You know, I'm not saying you're doing anything I haven't done. I've done it repeatedly. You come back from lunch at 1 o'clock. I accomplish something big in the morning. Hey, anybody need any help in my coaching program? Okay. Oh, yep. Okay, I'm going to help these three people. I'm going to help them out. We bounce emails back and forth for half an hour. Great. Is any customer service? Okay. Let's go ahead and do some customer service. Oh, I remembered I was going to do a little bit of studying on something I'm wanting to learn. Let me go do some Googling. I'll go buy an ebook. I read that for an hour late. Another hour goes by. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I really want a nap, but that would be wuss-like and weak and not going to take a nap. So I go back to answering some emails. It makes me feel productive, okay? And then, well, now it's 5 o'clock and it's ready to quit. Now, I'd almost, with the exception of the coaching clients that I could have helped for half an hour and then turned the computer off, okay, I probably would have been better to take the afternoon off. Okay, now, if I've managed my time well, the way that Tony and Jim teach in the Powerful Engagement, then maybe I could come up with one more segment in the afternoon. You know, the story that I just shared with you, I've done it repeatedly. You've probably done it. Okay, now,
I mean, just kind of fast forward to what I have found works really well for eliminating the email problem, okay? And I'll tell you why I went to this particular method. Okay, and I've heard about this method for a long time. There's probably a lot of people that teach it. You've probably heard about it. Okay, if you've never done it, it's probably because you've laughed and you've thought, it won't really work for me. It worked for me, okay? So let me just kind of go backwards and say, how do we try to deal with these email problems? So in our mind, we say, okay, I'm only going to check email twice a day. Okay, I'm going to check it at 8 and 12 or 12 and 4. And, it, of course, that big idea, I think it initiated, I think Timothy Ferris brought it up first in 4-Hour Workweek, but who knows, he may have gotten it from somewhere else. This idea that we only check email once or twice a day. Okay. And we use our self-discipline to not check our email more than once or twice a day. And it works for about 2 days. Okay. And then we say, add in one more third time. Okay. And then we go to, okay, well, I'll check it for 5 minutes every hour. Okay. And then we believe we're in control of ourselves. And so we, okay, I'll just leave email open again, but I can control myself. Well, I can't. Okay. I find myself continuing to go back because every 5 minutes an email comes in. Okay, some of them are really important. Somebody needs help with something. And some of them are not. The bottom line is I'm a lot less productive if I check email every time one comes in, whereas if I batch them, do 5 minutes an hour or twice a day or whatever the case is. So I'm not even suggesting there's a perfect way to do it. Okay. But I am suggesting that if you're spending more than half an hour to an hour per day on email, you'd probably agree with me that unless you're getting paid by the email, your time would be more useful somewhere else besides email. So if you're spending 2 hours a day on email and you were to eliminate one of those hours and then just take that 1 hour to write your book or 1 hour to record one new hour of product, at the end of a year, 200 working days, you'd have 200 hours of recordings instead of an extra 200 hours of email time that you won't be able to account for, okay? I'll tell you what's worked best for me is keeping a running physical daily log, and every hour I write down in my log what I've been working on, okay? And I will literally find myself in email and say, you know what, I better just wrap email up because I don't want to write down that I spent 2 hours in my log. And so I wrap up email and I go to work on something. Why? Because I'm going to write it in my log. Now, nobody else is going to read it, okay? But it's just there, and I know that my log needs to show me being productive. And if I'm reading email all day or surfing all day or all the other things that we just find ourselves doing, it's not productive. So that's really worked well for me. Now, hey, let me say this. If you try it and that doesn't work, find another way, okay? I mean, literally, find another way to manage your time, okay? And whether that is in Tony and Jim's book, okay, whether that is in, you know, wherever that is, that you have to go to find a method that works for you to manage your time. But I wanted to share with you the fact that that's what worked for me. Okay, moving on. I recommended Tony and Jim's book, The Powerful Engagement. I believe that's required reading for every entrepreneur. I really do. Okay, I'm going to share with you another book that I do not believe is required reading. However, if the technique I just gave you doesn't work for being able to creatively manage your time, I recommend the book Never Check Email in the Morning by Julie Morgenstern. Okay, now, I don't believe this is required reading. I believe there's probably some things in this book that will be useless to you. But, hey, Tony and Jim's book, there's going to be some things that are useless to you there. I mean, some of my training, you're going to have segments of it where you go, I don't really need that. Okay, I mean, it's just the nature of the game. Okay, so, again, I'm not considering this to be required reading, Tony and Jim's book. I believe that it is. Okay, so moving on. I want to share with you the next thing that I do that we're going to focus on more in this program, but I want to share it with you. And if you want to learn more about doing this along with just some more great information on motivation, Michael Masterson, The Pledge. So Michael Masterson has written a book called The Pledge, and I don't know if I would say that this is required reading. However, this book was beneficial to me. Okay? I like to be really careful when I give unqualified recommendations for reading books. I hate it when somebody recommends something to me and I don't get a lot out of it. So I try to be really, really careful when I recommend a book. Okay. However, I believe that The Pledge by Michael Masterson is something that if you get it, you read it, you study it, you use it, that it will benefit you. I really believe that. Okay, so let me give you a concept that I can't necessarily say is, hey, it's, you know,
Full title on that, I believe, is The Pledge, Your Master Plan for an Abundant Life by Michael Masterson. Something that really has helped me, and that's this idea of, I'm going to call it yearly, monthly, weekly, daily planning sessions, okay? Now, it goes back to knowing where you're going, okay? And let's just start with 5 years. So what's your game plan for 5 years? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? And then all you've got to do to get there, obviously you've got to do the steps, but if you'll just work yourself backwards, it's okay. In order to be there in 5 years, I have to be here in four, I have to be here in three, I have to be here in two, I have to be here in one. And once you've done that, that tells you where you need to be in 1 year. Okay, now, if where you need to be in 1 year to get to your five-year goal doesn't match up to where you'd like to be, then you may need to move some things around. Okay, the whole idea here is that if you're going to get where you want to go in 5 years, at a minimum, you've got to have these pieces in place. Okay, and so as working back, you may find that you don't need to do as much this year to get where your five-year goal is as you'd really like to be in a year. Okay, so maybe you replace this with saying, okay, this is where I want to be in a year, that's where I want to be in 5 years, and then write the gap in there. Okay. Obviously, today you don't need to plan out years 2, 3, 4, and 5 to get there. Okay, they may be very, very broad goals. But once you know where your one-year plan is, now you can break that in 12 pieces. You can say, okay, this is where I want to be in a year. Let's assume that in a year you want to have 2 coaching programs, 2 home study courses, and 4 products, and a continuity program. That's 10 items. We have 12 months. Hey, let's take 2 months of preparation and do this for 10 months, one item a month. Or let's have a week of preparation, take 10 months to do one of these each and take the last 2 months off. I mean, any way you want to cut it. You want to break down your year into 12 chunks that if you do each chunk, you'll be where you want to be at the end, okay? And once you've chunked it down, once you've said, okay, this is what I need to do each month, then each month on the first of the month or the 30th, 31st of the month before, you're going to sit down and you're going to say, okay, what do I need to accomplish to do this month? You know, you don't want to do this for 6 months from now because, trust me, if month one you get behind or ahead, month six isn't going to work. You're still going to have to make an adjustment. But the whole idea here is that if you can tell yourself what you need to do next month to make it happen, you're able to sit down on the first of the month and say, okay, there's 4 weeks. What do I need to do in each one of those 4 weeks to accomplish it? Well, once you know what to do in each of those 4 weeks, on Monday morning or Friday afternoon before the next week, you're able to sit down and say, this is what I want to do next week. What do I need to do daily to get there? And then that allows you to have your daily plan. And what I do when I get up in the morning, I normally start work about 7:15, 7:30. Very first thing I do before I turn the computer on, okay, before I take any phone, before I do anything, the very first thing I do is I look at my plan for the day and I say, okay, this is what I've wanted to accomplish for today. How am I going to do that? And I like to put a time schedule. I'd say, okay, from 8 to 10, I'm going to do this. From 10 to 12, I'm going to do this, and then, you know, I'm going to have lunch and call it a day. Or sometimes I will say, okay, I'm going to do this from 8 to 10, I'm going to do this from 12 to 2, I'm going to do this from 2 to 5, okay, and I find that, you know, by lunchtime, I'm saying I don't have the energy to do that, I'll have to push that off until tomorrow, okay, or I may only say initially I need to do these two things, but I get them both done in the first 2 hours of the day. I'm feeling fresh, I want to work the rest of the day, then I'll have another strategy session with myself and focus on, hey, what can I do Tuesday? Tomorrow's Tuesday, what can I do to get ahead on tomorrow? The whole idea here is that instead of every day waking up and saying, well, what do I need to do next? You already know. You have a year plan, you break it into 12 months, you break each month into 4 weeks, and then every week you're able to break it into days, what do I need to do each day to get there? Again, I write that down. And then every morning, I've got this schedule written down. At the end of the day, you can take your physical log of the time that you spent, I told you about earlier, this is what you did with your day, compare it with what you scheduled for your day, and if it doesn't match up, ask yourself why. Okay? And then you could have legitimate reasons. You know, something came up that was unavoidable, or you found yourself in that email trap, and then you have to ask yourself, how can I get better at that tomorrow? Or something, a really legitimate thing to occur is something took longer than you anticipated for it to get done. That happens, okay? And then you simply allow that to have happened, and then you move to the next day, okay? So the next two things that I want to share with you They're big for me, but really once you have what I've just shared with you, you almost don't necessarily need the next ones because they already happen, okay? But the next two things I want to share with you, the first thing is what I call my action management versus time management. And so a lot of times, you know, people, I've done it before, I still do it sometimes now. Obviously, I've alluded to it a lot in terms of this physical log of time, but we think of our of managing our time. Okay, I'm allowed to spend so much time on email. I allow myself to spend so much time studying. I allow myself so much time for lunch. And then, hey, what's left over gets the priority. What I find works better for me is to determine what's the priority thing for the day and then just do it first thing in the morning. And so we've made our schedule for a year. We've 12 months. You know, let's just say that our schedule for the year, we just talked about an idea of a schedule for a year is one new release every month, okay, or for 10 months of the year. So then if that's the case, what do we need to do in 4 weeks? You know, if we have 4 weeks, maybe 1 week we plan our product and do research. The next week we record it. The next week we write all our sales letters and all of our supplemental material. And the last week we launch it and add it into our campaign. So maybe that's what our schedule is. And so what that means is that each one of those 4 weeks is going to operate different. The week that you're recording, you know, every day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to do a 10-hour training program. I need to record for 2 hours a day from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. Well, next week, your job is to write a sales letter. Well, your schedule is going to be different. From 8 to 10, you're going to work on writing your sales letter. Okay? You know, the next week, you're working on launching it, and you're writing sales emails. Well, the first two things, the first thing you do in the morning that week is you write emails, and you put them out there, and you put things into your funnel. So every single week, the number one goal might be different, so it's not the same thing every day. And I'll tell you, that's where I get tripped up sometimes. People will ask me, what's your schedule look like? And the funny thing is, it's different every single week because 1 week I'm creating a product, 1 week I'm delivering a product, 1 week I'm selling it. You know, and you might ask, well, why don't you just write for an hour and then create product for an hour and sell for an hour? That's just tough for me. I find it so much easier to just kind of get into the zone and work on one thing. And so it's funny because people will ask me, well, what's your schedule look like? And almost invariably I say, well, I can tell you what my schedule is this week, but it's not typical. The funny thing is I don't have a typical week, okay? I have a typical priority management, but I don't have a typical week. So what if we use action management instead of time management, instead of saying, okay, I allot myself an hour for email, an hour for lunch, an hour for surfing, an hour for YouTube, an hour for learning, and then hopefully I have 2 hours left to work. Well, instead, I have my planning session at 7:15, 7:30. At 8 o'clock, I begin on my highest priority item for the day, which is if it's recording 2 hours of content or if it's recording something like, in fact, what I'm recording right now, okay, I'm recording it as a part of my schedule that I have dedicated to recording this. So, I mean, I am totally modeling what I'm sharing with you right here, okay, with the exception of this is early afternoon. This is the first thing I'm doing after lunch rather than at 8 o'clock in the morning. The idea is that, you know, we've set this time. We say, okay, between 8 and 10, I'm going to record, and then I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back and do something else important until lunch. I'm going to do lunch, and then after that, you make a decision. Have I done a full day's worth of work? Am I too mentally tired to really be 100%? Because I tell you, there's one thought. I didn't have this in my notes. I'm going to share it with you, and I'll get back to this idea. I'm going to share it with you while it's here. And that is the fact that when you're an entrepreneur, and I'm not talking about an entrepreneur that runs a coffee shop and you spend 8 of your 10 hours pouring coffee for your customers. I'm talking about an information entrepreneur. You got to, you know what I mean? Please, don't allow me to take anything away from a coffee shop entrepreneur. And if you're a coffee shop entrepreneur, I admire you for being able to do that, okay? But my guess is that with the exception of the wonderful customers that come into the store, it takes about the same amount of effort to pour each cup of coffee, okay? And it doesn't take a whole lot of thought once you've made the same latte 1,000 times, okay? When you're writing a new sales letter, you got to be fresh. And you can't write for 8 hours a day. You can't record for 8 hours a day. In fact, I even submit to you, you cannot be 100% 8 hours a day. I don't believe that you could go from 8 to 10 and record a wonderful product, from 10 to 12, write a sales letter, from 1 to 3, write on your book, and from 3 to 5, write articles.
I don't believe that you could do that. Anybody could do that and be at their 100% for each one of those items. I just don't believe that, okay? Whereas if, you know, if your job is to mow lawns, you might be able to mow 8 lawns, a lawn every hour. Okay? I remember at one point in my life when I sold door-to-door, okay? I'd try to have 3 prospects an hour. So I'd knock on about 10 doors an hour, have 3 prospects an hour, and I expected one of those people to buy, and I would do that every hour for about 8 hours. And I was about as effective on the 8th hour as I was the first one. Why? Because I was using about a 3-minute pitch and about 7 objections that I had memorized. There was no creative work, okay? But when it comes to doing creative work like what you're doing, recording your product, doing a coaching program, coaching people, taking people by the hand, writing sales letters, writing emails, I just don't believe you can be 100% 8 hours of the day. And so what happens is there's this temptation to feel like you have to justify that you worked a full day. So you work from 8 to 10, you're really productive. You take a break from 10:30 to noon, you're quite productive. You take lunch, you come back. Are you going to be productive, or would you be better off waiting until tomorrow? Okay. And sometimes you're just better off saying, you know what, I'm going to do an hour worth of work that is mindless, maybe answering some emails, doing some customer service, doing some web updates, something like that. But, you know, if I'm tired at 2 o'clock, let's just quit for the day and be fresh tomorrow. Because what happens is if you push yourself and push yourself, then tomorrow when you come in to record at 8 o'clock in the morning, from 8 to 10, you're not as fresh as you were yesterday. And so let's say Monday is your most productive day. Tuesday you come in, you work really hard Monday, you're not as productive from 8 to 10, you're even less productive from 10:30 to 12, you're not very productive in the afternoon, but you have to justify that you're working 8 to 10 hours to yourself. Wednesday you come in, you're even less productive. Could you get more done in the course of the week if you worked 4 to 5 hours every single day instead of pushing yourself 8 or 10 hours every day and being half as productive every single day going on? Obviously, you have to make that decision about yourself. You know, maybe you have a higher energy level than I do, but I, you know, most people that know me pretty well would tell me that I have a higher energy level than most people, and yet I still can't go at full throttle for 8 hours a day. You know, in fact, day after day after day, I can't go full throttle for 6 hours. I may put the time in, but the last few hours of the day are generally not as productive. So sometimes you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to keep pushing? So let's go back to kind of a rabbit trail there, but hopefully that was useful to you. Let's go back to action management. If you know what you need to do to get where you're going, you know what needs to happen each month to get to the year, you know what needs to happen each day, each week to get to the month, and you know what that needs to happen each day, it doesn't matter any longer if you work 8 hours, 6 hours, or 16 hours. As long as you do what needs to be done today, and you do that every day, at the end of the year, you'll accomplish your goal. Will you get a little ahead? Maybe. Will you get behind? Maybe. You make adjustments. That happens. But in terms of your day in, day out, what's important? Working 8 to 10 hours, or getting your whatever it was that you set out to accomplish, accomplished? Once you recognize that, put the thing you want to accomplish first in the day, and you may find it beneficial to take a couple afternoons in the week off. Okay. The last thing that I'm going to share with you here is focus. And really, if you think about it, if you implemented everything I just gave you, you almost don't need focus anymore because, well, you have your focus, and that's the point of it. The idea is that if you structure yourself so well that you know what you need to do, and all you have to do is have the discipline to do whatever it is that's most important first thing in the morning, you no longer have to make this self-disciplined effort to be really focused. Okay, now, having said that, how can you best achieve whatever it is that you're planning to do from 8 to 10 in the morning? If you're going to record a product, what's the best way to do it? Best way to do it is to lock yourself in your home office, lock yourself in your spare bedroom, or go rent a conference room somewhere and close the door and lock it so that nobody can ask you any questions and nobody can interrupt you. Turn the phone off, turn the email off, turn the television off, turn everything off, and just focus on that one thing. That's really easy to do if you're recording. Okay, so what about if you're writing a sales letter? You're going to work from 8 to 10. Do you think you'd be more productive if every single time somebody asked you a question via email, you jumped over to email, answered the question, and went back to the sales letter? At the end of your 2 hours from 8 to 10, how much more sales letter would you have done if you turned the television off, email off, internet off, your internet browser off, you locked the door, you told your wife, your husband, your dog, your children, your grandchildren, your parents that you're not available for 2 hours, how much more would you get written in those 2 hours? Okay, let's just take it one step further. Let's say that you allowed yourself 2 hours writing a sales email and then 1 hour to answer email. Would you not get more done if you worked on the email, on the sales letter for 2 hours and then answered emails for a full hour than if you tried to do them both at the same time for 3 hours? Okay, and if your answer isn't, I would be more productive by just burrowing in and doing the 2 hours worth of sales letters and then answer emails next, I encourage you to do it both ways 2 days in a row. So 1 day, do both at the same time. 1 day, do one and then one and compare your productivity. My guess is that unless you've got an incredible ability to segment things in your mind, you're much more productive if you turn everything off to write that sales letter, everything off to write that book, everything off to record. Okay, and for me, if I do that, I'm being focused. One more thought on focus, okay, and again, I'm not spending a lot of time on this because I think that so often we have to work so hard to focus only because we don't know what we're focusing on. So we have to work really hard to focus on whatever it is that we say we're going to do because we don't realize how important it is, and if we don't realize how important it is, it's easy to be distracted and just save it till tomorrow. But if we've made our year plan, our monthly plan, our weekly plan, or our daily plan, and we really buy into the fact that if we don't do this today, we're going to get 1 year behind on the whole year, in my opinion, it makes it a whole lot easier to stay focused. Okay, folks, that concludes what I prepared to teach you on mindset training. Again, this is really designed to be, you know, we could almost rename this mindset training that works for me. Okay, there's lots of training books out there. There's lots of good books. I've recommended two that I really believe have impacted me a lot and that I believe should be required reading for every entrepreneur. Obviously, in your life, you can find additional tricks and shortcuts that work really well for you. These are the ones that work really well for me. And I encourage you, if you've listened to some of this and you've thought, hey, that might work for me, but that won't, I encourage you, the thing that you think won't work, try it out for a week and see. And then if you know it, then if you say it really doesn't work, find something else that works. My guess is that most of these techniques will work for you if you implement them. All right, folks, we will see you on the next training.